thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
How about...
Here's John Williams.
Two big thoughts today. Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. We appreciate you tuning in.
Lord have mercy.
We're here all the way until 3 o'clock. Don't miss my Saturday show. You think this is fun? You should hear us from 10 to noon on Saturday mornings after Mr. Fix-It. That's Lou Manfredini, you know. Couple quick notes. First, if you like me on Facebook, I'm King John there. There we continue to use the Violetta app. Our traffic person, Violetta Podrometic, is taking your pictures that you're uploading to my Facebook page and matching them with paintings around the world. It's really good. It's fun. It's fantastic. It's funny. And dang, it works. It's a lot of work for Violetta during the day, but I don't care.
You know, it's one of those things like when you do a good job, you almost regret it.
Exactly. Exactly. You need to start doing a real bad job, and then I'll say, hey, you know, we've got enough of that now. Time to move on.
No, I'm setting the precedent. She set the precedent.
I know. You set the bar too high, Violetta. We want more.
That's my flaw in life.
You're a good-looking bunch of listeners, too. We really appreciate getting a peek at you, and then you'll get a peek at what we found of you. It mimics an app that isn't available in Illinois, but is virtually everywhere else in the world, but our laws are different in this state. Speaking of this state, I just want to also mention that you know how Governor Rauner ran that 15-minute ad over the weekend where they took the full conversation that J.B. Pritzker had with Rod Blagojevich about 10 years ago. There was Blagojevich scheming and wheeling and dealing, and J.B. Pritzker, who's running for governor, of course, was on the phone, and he was saying, hey, I'd like to be treasurer. And the way they cut it up in a short ad made it look like J.B. wasn't such a good guy because Blago's such a skunk, he's in jail. And JB said, well, I'd like to see you guys run that whole 15-minute conversation, and then people will see I'm not so bad. The Rauner people said, fine, and they put it on TV over the weekend. I still don't think there's a lot of there, but it's all guilt by association. The problem for me today is that the same people that did that ad for Rauner have now come up with another ad. But instead of the target being JB Pritzker, unfortunately, the target is me.
This is the unedited Rod Blagojevich FBI wiretap.
Rod, it's John Williams from GN Radio again. How are you? How's the hair?
What follows is the full, unedited, original FBI wiretap recordings obtained by the Chicago Tribune.
Do you watch Dancing with the Stars?
Viewer discretion is advised.
Are you a lawyer?
No. But I got an A on my constitution test in eighth grade.
Huh?
But wait a minute, I want to be clear about this. It took me two tries, so...
Huh?
So listen, I'm calling about a dance contest that I'm going to be in. You know, dancing?
Go ahead.
Like Dancing with the Stars?
Go ahead.
It's a cancer fundraiser with Arthur Murray, and I was...
Hang on one second. Hey, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm looking for donations.
Hey, go ahead.
I think it would be good for you. I think it would be good for me.
Madigan is pushing labor to try to push...
Excuse me?
Huh?
Listen, I'm going to be dancing.
Oh, interesting. Let's think about that. You interested in that?
Well, sure. I like to dance, and I just think it would help these...
I hear that Madigan is pushing labor to try to push Lisa.
No, Lisa Madigan isn't in this thing.
Huh?
So can I count on your pledge? $50, $100, right?
I mean, I'm not promising. I'm just saying these are all scenarios.
Yeah, and I don't think there's a lot of there, but they're trying to paint me in a bad light, and I really resent it. I don't think I have many options. They get to do whatever they want. They've got more money than we do. One other note on my Facebook page, if you go to King John on Facebook. The very first post we just put up a little while ago is that full-page ad in the NFL Super Bowl program that the AmVets were going to run. Have you seen this thing? We've posted it, and we're asking you, should the NFL have pulled this ad or not? They say it's too political. It's too controversial. The Super Bowl isn't about political statements, and they won't allow it. The AmVets, you know, the organization that supports veterans and has for years, it's the number one veteran support organization, had a full-page ad in the program. And it was simply a picture of some color guard members holding an American flag. And then at the top, the hashtag, please stand. Hashtag, please stand. And then towards the bottom, make a $20 tax-deductible donation and help us help veterans by texting veterans to 444-999. Hashtag please stand. And the NFL said, nope, if you said, help us support veterans, we would allow it. But please stand. Nope, we're not going to allow it. And we're asking you on Facebook what you think about that. And a lot of you have something to say. Get a look at the ad first. I think it's sort of a visceral reaction, right? You look at that and go, oh, please, can't we just watch the game? Or what a simple positive statement. Yes, I'll support the veterans, or at least they have the right to say that. They say it's more than ironic that these veterans who fought for the freedom of speech are being denied it in the program for the football game. I'm King John on Facebook. You'll be able to see Violetta's handiwork there with the pictures of people and then comment on this ad.
You know, it's funny because if you go to a professional game now, it is almost like going to a military event.
Completely agree.
And I want to be careful the way I say it.
But, no, I know what you mean.
But it totally is.
Yeah.
And I think you can respect the military and support the military without wanting to go to a military event.
Right? Well, it's just a super nationalistic, patriotic, expialidocious event. I mean, it really is a star-spangled celebration. The two championship games, the AFC and NFC championship games, had that gigantic flag and the soldiers and the salute and... you know, they do that before a Blackhawks game, the Bulls introduction.
And it's manufactured, right? Because the teams are being paid to do it.
Well, that's been the case. I haven't followed up on that lately, but yeah, that kind of busted. Mm-hmm. By the way, I, as an aside, I want to say this about the introduction to a Chicago Bulls game. Bulls, I love you. I'm a big NBA fan. I'm a big basketball fan. So I am so there for the Chicago Bulls. I'm going to be patient, and I want them to do it. But here's just a bit of advice. When your team is as lousy as your team is, you really don't need a six-minute introduction. The thing is, like, over the top. Now, the Blackhawks, lately, the introduction's been the best part of a Blackhawks game. And even when they were winning the Stanley Cups, you just had to be there for the introduction and the patriotic ceremony. Somehow they figured out the recipe, and it works. But at a Bulls game... it just drags on and on, the introduction and the
look,
this
I'll,
and that.
I'll come to watch the game, but I want to be home by 10.
I know, exactly. And it's like, and now here's your Chicago Bulls. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, they're really not that good. So can we just play ball here? We don't have a lot to celebrate. Let's just get them out here, run up and down the floor. We'll take our licks and hope for next year. It's 1:15. I want to talk with Callum Borchers from the Washington Post about the Mueller investigation. They want the president to testify. What are the options and rights that the president has there? We will get to that in just a minute. On a phone line is Callum Borchers, Washington Post reporter. Callum, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you.
Sounds like the investigation is really ramping up. You hold the biggest stars for the very end, so... Robert Mueller now wants to talk to Bannon and Sessions and Comey and the president himself, right?
He does. And what's striking about what we understand to be the focus of his line of questioning for the president is that it's largely about the dismissals of Michael Flynn, the former National Security Advisor, and James Comey, the former FBI director. It is not directly aimed at Russian meddling in the 2016 election per se. Of course, these things are all kind of intertwined, but the indication based on our latest reporting suggests that perhaps he is largely focused on a possible obstruction charge.
So it's possible that they would not find, or that they would find that the Trump administration did not interfere with the election itself, but the way they handled Flynn or Comey was against the law, and that could be a problem.
That's right, because keep in mind that Michael Flynn was under investigation by the FBI for a separate matter. It was not for his role in the 2016 election. It was for his work on behalf of Turkey. It was for financial dealings. And the president, according to James Comey, had asked the FBI director to drop that investigation. Now, Trump says he didn't do that, but Comey says he understood that to be the president's implication. And then, of course, the president has indicated in that memorable interview with Lester Holt from last year that he had the Russia investigation on his mind when he fired Comey as FBI director. And so what Mueller might be looking at here is whether the president was trying to obstruct justice when he first talked to Comey about perhaps letting Flynn off the hook, and secondly, when he got rid of Comey to get him off of the Russia probe.
Is that age-old saying, or is it... it's not the crime, it's the cover-up. Is this a possible instance of that, then?
Well, it could be. And of course, you know, the president's argument publicly has been, I mean, how can there be obstruction if there's no underlying crime? But of course, that's not really the case. It is possible that you didn't commit. For example, the result of the investigation could be that although Russia clearly did attempt to meddle in the 2016 election, that it was not in coordination with the Trump campaign. But it is also possible that even if that is true, the president and or his team could have obstructed justice in some way.
Well, isn't that somewhat the case with Bill Clinton? It's not against the law to have an affair, but you can't lie to investigators about it, right?
Well, that's right. Of course, he was impeached for perjury, not for the affair itself. And also keep in mind that we got to Monica Lewinsky years after launching a special counsel probe that was originally based on the Whitewater land purchase deal, right? I mean, we got pretty far afield. And of course, that's we're not there yet in this case, but it's worth remembering that once these special counsel investigations get underway and they have a wide berth to, you know, just sort of turn over whatever rocks are in front of them and find whatever might be under there, you know, that they sometimes run into crimes or alleged crimes that perhaps they didn't envision at the outset. And that is one of the frustrations of President Trump. He has in the past talked about his family finances being a red line. He thinks it's inappropriate for the special counsel to look at that. And of course, our latest reporting is that the president's team is trying right now to have him answer any questions that Mueller might have through some kind of hybrid format, maybe some written answers, maybe a sit down.
Yeah.
But they would also perhaps want to keep certain subjects off limits.
I want to talk to you about that process, but I'm so glad you mentioned the fact that we don't know about Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton, but for a Whitewater real estate investigation. And that led to that, where Donald Trump is similarly trying to contain the damage, the scope of the investigation. I don't know that that's his right or that he has the power to do so. And if it leads to a place where we do discover crimes that were no way connected to, say, Russian hacking of the election, too bad for you. That's what special investigators do.
Yeah, and this is a fundamental disagreement in the situation. And the president has said in the occasional interviews that he gives, I'm thinking of one he recently gave to the New York Times when he talked about how, in his view, he has total control over the Justice Department, for example. And of course, that's not traditionally how most presidents have perceived their role. Yes, they appoint or nominate the attorney general, but there is typically some level of impartiality there, and that's, of course, because it is considered important for public confidence in our institutions that Justice Department investigations not be perceived as political. And I think that that is one of the things that we're seeing throughout this process is this kind of erosion, some deliberate, some perhaps inadvertent, of public confidence in that. And I say it's some of both because, of course, you have the president saying that this is a witch hunt conducted by the FBI. He's saying that the entire investigation is totally tainted. But then you also have sort of the perhaps accidental undermining of public confidence that goes along with it as well.
So can they force the president to testify in a live hearing, not via email, not with somebody else helping him, but sit down on the other end of a table and just hammer away for 7 hours the way they did Jeff Sessions? Do they have the ability to do that?
Well, the special counsel could subpoena the president, but that would be a pretty extreme measure. And of course,
why? Why is that extreme? I mean, this whole thing is about what Donald Trump did or didn't know. I it's amazing to me that we pussyfoot around it. Sit him down there and ask him questions.
Well, I think that there would be plenty of folks who would agree with that. I think that I think essentially what it comes down to is kind of historical precedent in a lot of ways. There traditionally has been a lot of deference in these Justice Department investigations, even ones being conducted sort of independently by a special counsel. They're very deferential to the office of the President of the United States. And so the expectation here would be that at least as a first step, the special counsel would offer to sit down with the president in a more informal way. Keep in mind, just last week we saw an example of this where Steve Bannon, the former chief strategist, was issued a subpoena, but then ultimately reached an arrangement with the special counsel to have a more informal interview process.
Okay, that's fine. I don't understand that, though. These are different times, and this is an extraordinary circumstance. It's not about a personal affair or a real estate deal. It's about the integrity of our elections. You have an investigator who is, in fact, a Republican. Bill Clinton was investigated ultimately by a Republican, not a Democrat, after they got rid of the Democrat. Here's the same party sitting down, and I know it's not a political event per se, but it would seem to me like you can't say this is political or politics. Sit down and answer the questions. I could get this thing fixed in about 20 minutes.
Well, that is one of the oddities, isn't it? You're, and you're right about the party affiliations here. Robert Mueller is a Republican. And so, you know, the part of the really sort of stretching of reality here that you see on the part of the president's strongest boosters is this idea that Mueller is running some kind of, you know, liberal hatchet job against a Republican president, when in fact they're members of the same party. You know, it just does not add up. And of course, this is not helped by those text messages by Peter Stroke, the FBI agent who was removed from the case.
And the lovebird.
They're right, the lovebirds, as Trump calls them. But, you know, all evidence that we have seen in the public sphere indicates that they are anomalies. There is really no strong evidence that this entire team, or certainly the entire FBI, is stocked with a bunch of Clinton-loving liberals. And I think also, if you know your listeners just sort of use their own common sense, I think most of us understand that law enforcement, although they try to act in as nonpartisan a way as possible, typically, it tends to be full of conservatives, quite frankly.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Every police union in the country typically endorses Republicans. I mean, this idea that law enforcement is just full of a bunch of raging liberals just doesn't ring true.
Callum Borchers writes for and reports for The Washington Post. By the way, did you see The Post, the movie?
I haven't yet, which is sort of a shame, isn't it? Because, of course, it stars our newsroom. But we had a private screening here a while ago. But there are too many of us to get everybody into one theater. So we had a raffle, and I wasn't one of the lucky recipients of a ticket.
Well, here it'll be $12 well spent. The value of newspapers then and now, and there are parallels, has never been more paramount. Callum Borchers, Washington Post. Thanks for your time, Callum. Well done. One other note on my Facebook page. This is John Williams. You're listening to WGN. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio right on Michigan Avenue. Say hi to us while you can, because we're going to be moving later this year. On my Facebook page, we also posted and will continue to post Saturday producer Griffin's ambitious goal for 2018. He's trying to watch a movie every day this year. So the last 7 movies he watched and his reviews of them, just a sentence or two about each of them, are on my Facebook page on King John. Some of them he recommends more than others, of course.
So will he give himself a day off and watch 2 some days?
Good question. Don't know. I think so. I think the point is he wants to have seen 365 movies at the end of the year. So maybe he'll be, you know, there he'll be on New Year's Eve watching 5 movies. I'm grinding through them. He'll be right. Watching them at 2x speed, you know.
No, can't do it. Got to watch a movie.
Away from Her, Paddington 2, and what was the other one that he really liked? The Hidden Thread one, you know, the Daniel Day-Lewis movie. He really liked that one as well.
It's not called The Hidden Thread.
Yeah, I know. It's all on my Facebook page. Away from Her, I'm just reading his thing now, Phantom Thread, Hidden Thread, Phantom Thread, whatever. So that's all on our Facebook page. And we posted that ad. The first, I'm just reading the comments. So AmVets wanted this ad in the Super Bowl program, a picture of the color guard, and all it says is, hashtag please stand. They want the fans to stand, I suppose, for the national anthem. But you imagine this is more directed at the players. They want the players to stand. They want all of us to stand for the flag. So they ran that ad or printed that ad, and the NFL said that they will not allow them to print that. And we asked you what you thought of the NFL's decision, right or wrong. And I'm just scrolling through here, and the first 12 comments It looks like 10 of you are saying the NFL got it wrong, that they should be allowed to run that ad. And two of you are saying, nope, the NFL got it right. Don't politicize the game or the program with that ad. I wonder what you think right now. My number is 312-981-7200. And I'll take your call right here, right now. You can text as well, 312-981-7200. The ad in the NFL Super Bowl program is the color guard, red, white, and blue flag, light blue sky in the background, and above it all, it says, hashtag please stand. And that's all. That's all. And at the very bottom, it says, make a tax-deductible donation. Here's how to do it with your phone. They're looking for $20. I don't mind them asking for $20. The NFL minds that they said hashtag please stand. That's too political.
Well, make it a different topic and do it that way.
Right. Like,
let's say
gun control.
Well, no. I was not even that. Something that the NFL's involved in. Say that a playoff game the week before was blown by a bad replay call.
Okay.
Right? That's trouble for the NFL. That's embarrassing to the NFL.
Right.
So they would not take ads that make fun of or point that out because it's bad for their product. The whole controversy along the sidelines is bad for the NFL, so why should they take ads that only pour salt in the wounds on one side or the other?
Right. So if it was a bad call and an optical company said, no more bad calls with our fancy new glasses.
Right. They would have said Jacksonville would be in the Super Bowl if they'd worn if the ref had worn our glasses. They wouldn't do that.
I don't think they would.
No.
Well, they have editorial discretion. It's their show. It's their program. They get to do what they want. And, yeah, I guess this controversy reflects badly on the NFL. Well, the NFL's position on the players, I don't know, Kevin, you're in the sports office right now. I don't know if he's listening carefully to this conversation. I don't think he is.
He plays Pac-Man at this time.
He's crushing the candy right now. But the NFL's position on the player standing is that the NFL, the players can do what they want. They're not forcing the players to stand.
Well, they're not taking a stand right on the issue.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm trying to remember now exactly.
My point is whether they're doing it right or wrong, it's a sore spot.
Yeah.
So why take money to exacerbate or point out your sore spot?
Yeah. Here's some of your phone calls. We'll start with Paul. You're on WGN Radio. Jump in there, Paul. What do you want to say?
Hey, John. I just don't agree with it. I don't agree with the NFL. I don't think that the players should be taking a knee. I think if the AmVets wants to place an ad to have their side of the story to say, stand up, please, let them be the pink, the big elephant in the room to say, hey, stand up, stand up for your country. Let them do that. I think the NFL got it wrong, and it just angers me that the NFL is letting these players have their way with the situation. Show some respect. And because of that, just so you know,
yeah,
I stopped watching NFL games about, I don't know, a couple months ago. They're not getting my 2 cents.
Somebody texted or they posted on that Facebook page that I'm talking about, Paul. They said, I'm going to watch the national anthem and then I'm going to turn off the TV. I'll be there for the American part and I'm not going to watch their stupid game.
Yeah, I agree. I'll probably watch the anthem and see just how respectful or disrespectful these players are. But this is my country, and this is a game that we should be watching together as Americans. It's a fun thing. But if you've got no respect, zero respect, because you want to politicize that, and then you're going to sit there and say, oh, but the AmVets can't do it, that's wishy-washy, man. So I'm done with the NFL until they get their act straight. So
yep, I hear you, man. Thanks for the call, Paul.
Ciao.
Have a good day. It's 145 WGN. Let's see what Matt says on line two. Jump in there, Matt. What's your thought about this?
Hey, King John. Good to talk to you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember last year, but Anheuser-Busch, who is a big sponsor, had an ad when Anheuser actually met Bush, and it had underlying political tones in regards to immigration.
The fence one? Which one was it? There was that. Remember they had the border wall ad, and that was a tool company. What was the Bush ad you're talking about?
This was Anheuser-Busch, where the two founders met each other.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Way back then, and they told the story about how they first met in St. Louis or New York or wherever.
Right, and this was after all of the political talk in regards to Trump's talking about immigration.
Yeah. Yeah, because
Anheuser-Busch has big pockets, and they give the NFL quite a bit of money for advertising, and they seemed all right with that.
They were okay with that ad. And they did run the ad last year, or did they? Doggone it, I remember the ad, but I don't know if they remember they allowed them to run or not. Do you know what I'm talking about, where there was a border wall, and there was some... And you,
it was followed, a moving company. No, it was. It was a moving company.
Was it?
Yeah.
And we followed the story of a mother or a child and a mom, and they were coming from Mexico, walking through the desert.
I thought it was a lumber company.
No, it was lumber. It was the lumber liquidators or something like that. Yeah.
And then they build a nice door for them to go through or something.
Well, that was the thing. You thought they were building the wall, but really they were building the door for the family to get through.
And, okay, but here's the $64 question. Did that ad run in the Super Bowl or not?
I don't think it did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so more people saw it.
Well, by the way, I think about all the good this is doing for AmVets. Hello, it's better to be banned, you know, because that's a paper program. It wasn't a television ad. You're not going to see the paper program unless you're one of the 80,000 people at the game. But now everybody is looking at their ad. I'll bet their phone is texting off the hook with donations, you know? Yeah. Hey, you make an interesting point, Matt. Thanks for taking us there. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Yeah. All our phone lines are ringing here. And by the way, most of you are saying the NFL got it wrong. Joe, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, John.
Hey.
I just wanted to say with the NFL, I'm a veteran. I find it kind of, annoying that they do kneel. But the NFL should make the players stay in the tunnel until after the anthem is played, and that they want to go out there and kneel, or if they want to go out for the national anthem, they can go with the understanding that they're going to stand. Otherwise, they have to stay in the tunnel.
I think that's what they've been doing lately. I think the teams should stay in the tunnel and avoid the controversy completely.
Well, they're just trying to be annoying is what they're doing.
well, they may be doing that, but if I had a team or if I was a decider, I think that's what I would do. I would say, look, there's no upside. We lose if we kneel. We lose if we don't kneel. You know, maybe some more than others, but let's just not even go there. Let's just be a football team and play. We'll come onto the field after the controversial window is closed, and then we'll go out and we'll play football. What a concept. A couple more of your phone calls and lots of texts here. The NFL won't allow AmVets to run a big ad in their Super Bowl program that said hashtag please stand, color guard, and hashtag please stand. The NFL said that's too controversial. This texter said, John, it just makes us look bad, so we don't like the ad. That's what the NFL should say. It makes us look bad. We don't like the ad. Don't lie and say it's political. John, don't run the ad. Trump, who did not understand the reason this started, convinced his 30%ers to get angry. This one says, stand for the anthem or leave. And this one says, I haven't watched a game this season. I was going to watch the Super Bowl, but I won't now. But the next texter from 630 says, I don't look to football players or the game itself for patriotism. I look inside my heart. I'll watch the game. One last text I want to read. While viewing games at home, how many people bother to stand for the anthem? I'm guessing never until this controversy began. I don't know of anybody that stands at home for the national anthem when watching it on TV.
They leave the room. That's when you go get a snack.
I do not find... Listen, you don't have to stand at home for the national anthem. If you want to, if that makes you feel good, of course you should. If you don't want to, you don't have to.
Frankly, I think most anthems aren't broadcast, right?
Yeah, now that you mentioned a lot of this is kind of moot.
So that will be the next pressure, you know.
Right. They better run that national anthem.
If you love America, you will show the national anthem.
Evidently NBC, which is foreign-owned probably.
It's a commercial break.
They don't
care. I mean, look, I used to be in broadcasts, sports. That's when you run the commercials.
I can just imagine Brenda, Daisy, Bingo, and I all standing there. Bingo can't. His legs are bad. But we'd all stand there at attention. I shouldn't be mocking that, because if you do that, I think that's sweet. I think that's terrific. That if that has value to you, then do it. But my family is not going to stand for the national anthem at home on TV. Why? Well, for a number of reasons, but I think principally because the standing is a communal thing. It's a sort of communication, one to another, that we're all Americans, we're proud, and we're together. When you do it in private, you already know the answer to that question, and you're not sharing it with anybody. There's no reason to do it. Unless it brings you some special joy, then go ahead. Here's some of your phone calls. Gary's on line four. You're on WGN. Gary, what do you want to say?
Well, I was kind of asking the question, what does the American flag stand for? Does it stand for the Constitution, that all men are created equal? Or does it stand for the military, where in Vietnam, 10,000 black kids died there? In World War II, blacks had to fight to be a fighter squadron, and they proved how well they were, but the military didn't want them? At what point does the flag mean something?
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer to it. Gary, thanks for the call from you. Let's go to Pam. You're on the air, Pam. What do you want to say?
Hi. I understand, you know, why they decided not to run the ad. I think that it could have, since they're okay with people protesting, doing silent protests, supposedly they're okay with it, then they should have let the ad run, because that way they can say, you know, we're open to hearing all sides of the argument. If you want to make this argument, if the AMFs want to make this argument, mm-hmm. they can be in our program, you know. So then that way they would have looked like, hey, we're not taking any side.
Right.
We're just letting everyone voice their opinion, which is what the country stands for. But I do want to make one point, and that is all these people who are making it so political, I'm not going to watch the game. Get over yourself, okay? It's a game. You're not watching it for the anthem anyway. I didn't think so.
You going to watch the game, Pam?
Because I want to see the football game.
You going to watch?
Yeah. Maybe, because the Patriots are in it, but we'll see.
I appreciate you listening, Pam. Thanks for the call. Have a good day.
That's a reason to boycott. The Patriots are in it again. That's one of the reasons I might not watch.
You know, this is okay. It is okay to watch the Super Bowl for the Patriots to cheer against them, because the Super Bowl this year will feature the Patriots and somebody else.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's kind of a gray, windy, snowy day on Michigan Avenue. We had some flurries blowing around just a minute ago.
What a morning.
Yeah. What do you mean, what a morning? The ice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 200 accidents or more.
I got a text message from my dad this morning. He lives out in Joliet. I live up by Wrigley Field here in Chicago, so my commute is not so bad. And I usually take the train. But he said, don't go out. Don't go out. It's terrible out there. Said I almost slipped on the ice, hit my keister trying to get my newspaper. He was worried about us. I said, I don't think I can call in ice. I can't just call in and go, hey, listen, it's pretty bad out there. So I'm just going to take it easy today.
You know, even in the worst of the blizzards, well, the cars aren't moving, yeah. But I don't recall four major expressways being closed. And they were closed today. They were closed. That's an amazing thing.
And kind of, but not very long, right?
Hours.
Like, yeah.
I mean, hours, that's a long time.
No, what I was thinking was the duration of this really unfortunate situation. I mean, it became at the exact wrong time. It came in morning rush hour, where the ice,
right.
You had some melt, then you had some freeze at the exact wrong time.
It's not like it's snow that's still there, it has to be dealt with, but... I don't know, Violetta. I mean, everything's open now, right?
Yeah, everything's open. There's still some delays on 80, especially eastbound right now near Joliet. We had a lot of issues on 55, on 355, and on 294. But everything was mostly in the south and west suburbs. If you were up north, it wasn't too bad.
I want to catch up on a couple of things here. We mentioned Dolly, the cloned sheep. Why was that a part of our conversation, Steve?
Well, I was trying to do a very serious story about cloning primates and in the future humans, and then you brought up Dolly World in one way or another.
I said that the original sheep that was first cloned, the first cloned animal, was that sheep named Dolly in Scotland. Why was it that name? And here it is. Her name was... The sheep was originally codenamed 6LL3. The name Dolly came from a suggestion by the stockman who helped with her birth in honor of Dolly Parton, because it was a mammary cell that was cloned. And that was a more innocent time, 1997, when you could laugh at a breast joke, but you can't do that anymore.
The code name should have been Double D.
There you go. I know, they already had
the
two L's
in
funny.
There. That's just not funny.
It's funny because I said it.
I'm fine. I don't even know what the rules are, and I'm not going to figure them out live on WGN. Hey, so Steve did the story. I'm so interested in this Kim Gordon story that you had in your newscast, Steve, about Divi, because I so got burned this summer. Do you remember what happened to me?
Yeah, you didn't go check it back in or something?
Well, I didn't understand the rules. It said, I don't know, the sign's not clear to me on what the rules are for Divi. So my niece and I, she was visiting. I said, well, let's go for a bike ride along the lake. So we checked out a couple of bikes. I don't have the annual pass. And we rode for a few hours up and down Lake Michigan. And I thought, well, that's going to be maybe 20, 30 bucks, something like that. It was $100 or some ridiculous amount of money for us.
You're riding around like Mary Tyler Moore, exploring
totally.
The city.
Yeah, we had baskets of bread and the
Laverne and Shirley on their bikes.
We were getting big, like, armfuls of wine and bread to bring back. We were shopping leisurely, stopping and enjoying the city, not knowing that every half hour it was like another ka-chunk of money. I don't know. I thought it was... And it's ridiculous. You should be able to rent for leisure purposes Divi bikes on weekends. I know it's a commuter thing, and if you can make your commute on a Divi bike in less than a half an hour, it makes sense. And mostly you can. So there's the model. But all these bikes are sitting there just begging to be rode on weekends. And all of these tourists and dum-dums who don't know the rules like me want to hop on them and zoom around. They got these bikes over by the lake. If you take that thing out for more than 30 minutes, you're hosed. All right, so what's Kim's story again?
Let me just play it because it's kind of complicated. I don't know all the details.
Go.
Starting next month, riders will pay $3 for a single 30-minute ride. They're eliminating the current 24-hour pass, but will introduce a $15 Explorer Pass to allow recreational riders to take longer trips. Annual members will have their ride times also extended. Year memberships will remain the same. The company hopes the new fee structure will attract new Divi riders. Kim Gordon, WGN News.
Thank you, Kim. Well done. So $15 for leisure riders. She didn't have time there to go into all the details, but that's what they need. If they would have said to us, hey, 15 bucks each and you can have it for a few hours and go up and down the lake, I think I would have taken that deal. Good for them. I'm glad to see they're listening.
They're calling it the John Williams route.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a chance to make that retroactive, but I don't think they will.
You know, you had a smartphone, right? Why didn't you record your face when you saw the bill? I would have loved to have seen that.
Record my wife's face. She's the one that figured it out. Because I didn't know. And she says, hey, what's this Divi thing?
Well, what I think they were doing, though, is encouraging the either monthly or annual membership because it was too expensive to ride leisurely. So you were better off buying the longer term.
Right, which is $100, though. I mean,
$100 for the whole year?
Yeah, $100. But then you still have to pay by the half hour. But it was a better deal. I don't know. To me, the model does not accommodate tourists or the suburbanites, downstaters, anybody that just happens to want to take a ride.
But the point is to make money.
Yeah. Well, boy, they did that. But you know what? They didn't make any more. That was the last Divi I took. I'm like, well, that doesn't work for this guy. So I said, no, thank you. Actually, it wasn't the last Divi I took, but I was a lot more. I took a lot fewer than I was planning on, that's for sure.
The next one, you just rode around the Divi stand.
I'd be so nervous.
You could always touch it.
That's the thing. So I can pick one up over by the ballpark, and I want to take it up to the beach at Montrose, and I know I can do that in less than 30 minutes. But I guarantee you I'm nervous about that. I'm like, if I don't get there by 31 minutes, it's going to cost me more than is worth the trip to the beach. And so you've got to kind of plan it out, and that it shouldn't be that way.
And then your leisurely bike ride is very stressful.
Oh, forget about it, yeah. I mean, it's a very aerobic experience.
You're like chugging the wine and the baguette you have on the beach, and you're like, let's go.
I know. No, but if you put it in the dock at the beach, and then the meter stops, I believe. But then to take it back out, you got to start it all over again. That's not a good system. So this is the judge at sentencing of Larry Nassar. He's that ridiculous, criminal, sick Olympic doctor. And while, you know, you can imagine that there's somebody like that that gets through the system. He was beloved. He was revered. He'd do clinics around the country. Oh, the Olympic doctor is here. He'll check out your kids in that special little tent all by himself. So while there's the possibility that something like that happens, where's the oversight by the U.S. Olympic Committee? Where's the oversight by the U.S. Gymnastics Federation? That's the thing that really makes you mad. All the safeguards that should have been in place to keep this from happening. And this guy was just going left and right for decades. So he pleads guilty in federal court, and then in state court he faces this judge. And here is the judge in part at sentencing.
I'm not good at math. I have a cheat sheet. I'm only a lawyer. I know that you have a lot of education in physics and math, but I have a cheat sheet. It is my privilege to sentence you to 40 years. And when I look at my cheat sheet, 40 years, just so you know and you can count it off your calendar, is 480 months. The tail end, because I need to send a message to the parole board in the event somehow God is gracious, and I know he is. And you survive the 60 years in federal court first, and then you start on my 40 years? You've gone off the page here as to what I'm doing. I'm giving you 175 years, which is 2,100 months. I've just signed your death warrant. I need everyone to be quiet. I still have contempt powers. I told you I'm not nice. If you are ever out, which is doubtful, you will pay restitution.
And she went on to say a few other things as well. I got to tell you, I just thought that judge was enjoying her moment a little too much.
It didn't sound like she was administering justice as much as she was, yeah, enjoying it? I don't know. I don't know what the right word is, but...
Well, whatever's going to happen to this guy in jail...
It didn't seem to be the objective administration of justice.
There you are. It did not seem to be the objective administration of justice. Her job is to say what the outcome is, not to be part of the punishment. And I think she was trying to humiliate him with her words at the sentencing. I'm sure they have all the latitude in the world, these judges, and nobody here is sympathetic for Larry Nassar, but what's the point, Judge? I mean, I'll bet 2,100 months she hopes he weeps every day that he counts down on the calendar and realizes he's never going to get out. I'll bet that the 2,100 months will be punishment greater than what she's doing to him there. To me, it just seems like she's trying to hog the spotlight a little bit.
He tortured so many girls. So many girls, and I have no sympathy for him in that moment.
But Elif, no one's saying you should, but it's the judge's determination to come up with a sentence and to issue it, not to sort of...
Be part of the punishment.
Not to gloat on it. I understand.
You know, just to say, I've got a cheat sheet, and here we go. I mean, that was just a poor choice of...
Okay, so you react to this two different ways. I think if Steve and I are a little put off by her personality there, you may be cheering her on, because I think that's what she was. They're like, yeah, you were one of those two. Were you either going, give it to him, judge, or you're like, judge, just shut up, I'm sorry, can we all be done with this, dragging this out?
Well,
I'm not good in math, but I've got a cheat sheet, and 12 times 40 is 480 months. Were you just going, give it to him? Ooh, that feels good. It didn't feel good to me at all.
Yeah,
I'm not celebrating that.
I think there's a third choice. I think there's like throw the book at him, put him away for as long as you can.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't linger and enjoy it that way.
Okay, you may have something to say about that. The number's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And Mayor Emanuel is skipping a White House meeting today after President Trump, after the administration, stepped up the fight over sanctuary cities. That's important to us in Chicago. And there's the mayor in the Capitol. You'll hear more about that in 9 minutes here on GM. John, her 15 minutes of fame, she did the Donald and diminished her position, says this texter. John, the judge was speaking for the victims. John, that was a lack of jurisprudence. Another texter said it was unprofessional for the judge to act that way. Let's pick up some phone lines and start with Karen. What'd you make of that judge at the Nassar sentencing?
Hey there. I loved every minute of it. It was like an episode of Law and Order. You know, John, I raised two daughters. You raised two sons.
Yeah.
I had daughters that were vulnerable, and it could have turned out differently. I watched the young women every night on the news, the hate, the distress, and so on and so on. I cheer for her, and if she took her 15 minutes, I'd give her a half hour.
That's Karen. Thank you for the call, Karen. Well put. I think some people agree with you. We'll go next to Michelle. You're on WGN. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. What do you think?
I think that that kind of thing happens every day in court. She's not the first judge that has ever, ever shown an emotional side in handing out the sentence.
Yeah.
To say that she's unprofessional and that, you know, there's no jurisprudence or whatever in this is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. That she had to sit along with everybody else in that courtroom and listen in detail to what that man did to those little girls.
Yeah, she talked about that too. She said, you know, and then the guy sentenced her. Remember earlier in the sentencing process, he gave her that 6-page letter. And among other things, he said that you put me in the witness stand a lot of times so that the cameras would also be on you. And she, so she reads some of this stuff and then responded directly to him. And she also said, have you seen a psychiatrist? Are we sure that you're okay? Because I'm about to unload on you, and I want to make sure that I've got the green light here. And they said, yeah, he's okay. He can take it. And so then she just wailed on him. And that wasn't even today. Thanks for the phone call. One more call. Dolores, you're on WGN. What did you want to say, Dolores?
Yeah, hi, John. I want to sort of give the same idea. Number one, I think it was terrible that you and Steve were so, you know, picky with this judge. Number one, I really believe that they gave this woman this case. No male would understand. You don't have any daughters.
Yeah.
It is. You have a daughter-in-law, and maybe someday you're going to have a granddaughter. God bless you. I hope it never happens to them.
Yeah, I think we're all, I understand that. And if that's the filter that's clogging my thinking on this, I'll take that.
Well, if Larry,
that was my reaction.
If the judge was given the case because she's a woman, Larry Nassar will win the appeal, because you can't do that.
Thanks for the phone call, Dolores. John, I congratulate the judge for reminding everyone, especially all the girls he preyed on, that he was a monster and never deserves to see the sunlight again. Sanctuary city status for Chicago. The mayor is in Washington, D.C. So what happened there today? Steve Bertrand, that's next. This is John Williams. Not much conversation about the new tariffs that the U.S. is going to impose on solar panels and washing machines. But I'm kind of intrigued by this, not just because of those two categories. Not many of us buy solar panels, but we've all got a washing machine or access to one. But what happens if we do this to other things as well? This is from the New York Times. President Trump slapped steep tariffs on imports of washing machines and solar energy cells and panels. This happened on Monday, the first major step by the administration to erect the kind of trade barriers Mr. Trump has frequently said are necessary to protect manufacturers in the United States. So the president approved solar tariffs for the next 4 years, starting with levies of 30%. It'll ultimately fall to 15%. 95% of our solar panels are imported. We have not been making them here as inexpensively as they have been there. So the panels that are coming in, you're going to pay more for. And or you're going to buy domestic ones, which happen to cost more than what you've been paying. Same with washing machines. For imported washing machines, the president approved, it's amazing the power the president has. He approved a combined tariff and quota for the next 3 years. You're going to buy a washing machine in the next 3 years? Here's what you'll run into. In the first year, the first 1.2 million washing machines that are imported will face a tariff of 20%. While all subsequent imports will have a tariff of 50%. The washing machine you have and maybe love Was it made somewhere else? If it was, imagine buying that at a 50% markup. Those tariffs are gradually phased down in the second and third years. In the washing machine case, Whirlpool argued that its South Korean competitor, Samsung Electronics and LG Electronics, moved their production facilities around the world to avoid tariffs. That's Whirlpool's case. Samsung and LG, those are the ones that we've been talking about, described Whirlpool's case as a protectionist grab, and it's going to cost American consumers more. It's also confusing to me because, as I understand it, Samsung, one of the companies affected, has a factory in South Carolina. So I don't know how they're going to tell where which one was made, and will the tariff apply to the Samsung washing machines made in the United States? And if it does, well, that's not going to help American workers. Besides, here's the, at the end of the day, it's sort of like, would you make the trade the wall for DACA? Would you make the trade higher prices for American jobs? What this is going to do, I guess in theory, is make sure that we have, you know, Whirlpool or GE products made in the United States by Americans. Hooray, you're going to pay more for them. And God forbid you want something made overseas. You really like that LG? Wow, are they going to hit you in the shorts. That's what we want, right? That's the deal that we've decided we should make, right? Right? I'm just asking. So let's talk a little bit about that. First with Lawrence Officer, who is an economics professor at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Professor, it's John Williams. Welcome to WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing? I'm happy to answer your first question. The factory in South Carolina that Samsung had, if they manufacture the washing machines there, that would not be hit with the tariff.
Got it. So, and I guess they know where they're made. So I could still buy a Samsung washing machine if that's my favorite brand, but I've got to make sure I get the ones that were made in the U.S.
Well, chances are the prices are all going to go up anyhow. You're absolutely right that prices will go up, both for the washing machines in general and for solar panels, which, after all, are an input, as I think you properly said. There's a difference between the washing machines and the solar panels, right? The washing machines are a consumer product, whereas the solar panels are used to make a consumer or a business product.
I'm just curious about what will happen then to the American-made products. So if the foreign-made products are more expensive and that makes the American-made products more competitive, will the American products stay at the same price? Will they go up? Will they go down?
Almost certainly go up. They'll have the opportunity to go up. And it's a competitive market, as your person from APT could tell us. I am not in favor of these tariffs. You know, as far as solar panels are concerned, President Obama guaranteed something like $500 million in loans to Solyndra, a solar panel company. And guess what? The company went bankrupt. So I don't think that governments do well in selecting winners and losers in industry. I prefer to leave it to private enterprise.
I reached out to Steve Shapiro. He's the sales manager at APT Electronics. A lot of us know Steve here at the radio station and around town. APT's been around forever, and Steve's always, you know, cutting deals and selling appliances over there. Hey, Steve, you're on the air. How are you?
Good afternoon, everyone.
All right, Steve. What, you heard this news. What was your first reaction?
Well, it's old news to us because we've heard about it in the past. I mean, LG and Samsung both started this about 2.5 years ago. As you said, Samsung is already manufacturing in South Carolina. LG is building a factory in Tennessee that should be up by the end of this year. So LG will probably go up another $50 retail price until the end of the year because everything's going to be coming in from overseas. But once that levels go up and the plant is up and running, they should level off. Samsung, we don't see any type of increase right now.
So do you care? I mean, so do you care as a retailer, Steve? Do you go, hey, I don't care. I've got domestic and I've got foreign. I can sell you whatever you want. Do you care personally about this decision?
Well, as long as it doesn't increase the price to our customers, that's definitely what we don't want to see.
Well, wait a minute. The professor just said it almost certainly will.
We're not seeing it as yet. I mean, like I said, Samsung, all of our Samsung products in the washer area are coming from South Carolina. So it's all...
Won't affect those, yeah. Right. Lawrence, jump in there. What do you want to say?
I think that Steve has a point. To the extent that our competitors like Samsung do produce within the United States, you're avoiding the tariff, and in principle, that can replace all the imports. So, but you don't get that with solar panels. Our solar panel industry is not competitive, period. So there's interesting washing machines and solar panels. I agree with Steve what he says about washing machines. It's entirely possible that the price will not be affected if the foreign competitors move their facilities entirely in the United States.
Well, then that's we'll talk about solar panels in a minute. Let's just stay on washing machines for a second. So that's a win then for America. The president's policy works. Steve doesn't see prices going through the roof, particularly since the tariff won't affect the American-made foreign labels, and that means jobs for Americans. So how is this not a big win, Lawrence?
I wouldn't call it a big win because if we repeat this, okay, we're going to destroy what we get from international trade. You can do this for one or two industries. This is no big deal from a macro standpoint. It's not going to affect, not going to bring about a recession or inflation or anything like that. This is just two industries which are important to their workers and to customers, but it's not gigantic. This is a very small part of U.S. GDP. It doesn't really matter what Trump does here. It's not going to work for solar panels, okay? It may work for washing machines. I agree with Steve. But it won't work for solar panels. We have a tremendous competitive disadvantage in solar panels. As you properly pointed out, most of them are imported. And China itself produces about 70% of the solar panels in the world. It's crazy for us to try to develop a solar panel industry.
Well, what I'm wondering, too, guys, is, okay, I wonder if a country would retaliate. They say, okay, maybe it's tit for tat. Maybe it's in principle. Maybe it actually matters. But here's what they'll say. Okay, since we can't sell our foreign, you know, the guys in France and South Korea, they want jobs too. And the United States essentially has cut them out. So what they'll now say is to Caterpillar Tractor or Apple, you want to sell your tractors or your phones over here? Great. But we're going to hit you guys with a 30% tariff to bring them in. I'll bet American manufacturers won't like that, right?
Well, are you asking me or do you want Steve to answer
that? I want you to answer that, Larry.
Yeah, I think, John, that this is small potatoes, you know. I mean, this could almost be a sop thrown to to Trump's political base. Now, this is not any big deal. Now, if he wanted to, if Trump imposes a 20% or 30% tariff on all Chinese products, that's a big deal. There'll be retaliation. I don't believe that Korea or any other country will retaliate. The solar panel thing is not going to work. He will rescind it, or it'll be done after the 4 years. Washing machines might work, but you're not going to bring the Chinese solar panel industry to the United States. That's crazy.
And what's going to happen then about the solar panels, if I understand correctly, Lawrence, is that the cost of the panels are going to go up until the manufacturing in the United States catches up with that, and we'll probably pay more for those.
Correct.
That just means if you want to electrify your house with solar panels, it's going to be a lot more expensive, and maybe people will just opt not to. That's an emerging market, and this has got that industry very nervous here in this country.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake, but again, we shouldn't condemn Trump, because Obama did the same thing. He tried to build up the U.S. solar panel industry in another way, through subsidies. Trump is doing it through tariffs. Both are equally stupid when it comes to solar panels. Maybe not washing machines, but certainly solar panels. I mean, that's just, I think it's madness. I don't know where they're coming from for this. We have no competitive advantage in solar panels whatsoever.
Hey, Steve, do you know when this policy will affect you guys? That is, the president said that. I wonder when those tariffs will actually go in place. When will you start to see another $50 on an LG washer?
They're telling us within the next 2 to 3 weeks it's going to affect the retail price. You know, like I said, about another $50.
Yeah. Oh, are you guys going to run ads? Hey, get that LG washer now before the price goes up.
No, we give the best price every day, as you know.
There you go.
By the way, Apt is my favorite electronics store. We have consumer appliances. We go there for all our stuff.
Yeah, I think, well, how many do you guys sell? How many appliances do you sell there, Steve?
How many different appliances?
No, I mean, I don't know, dollars or units. How many things or bucks come in and out of that store? Give me some number to make me go, wow.
No, then I get fired.
Yeah, that's a private company, and you guys don't release that sort of thing, do you? Is it like the biggest consumer electronics store or appliance store in the country?
Yes, we are the largest in the country and possibly the world.
How many employees, how many people work at that store?
We are at 1,400 people.
It's insane. It's insane.
350 trucks on the street six days a week.
Wow.
But excuse me if I may jump in, but John and Steve, this is really important. Steve is a retailer. Retailing is a big part of the U.S. economy. Look at Walmart, okay? The retailer doesn't produce the product, but the retailer sells it. So it's really important that we have a rational tariff and quota policy just to keep our retailers going. That's 1,400 employees, just one firm.
Right, and if I decide to skip it, I just won't buy a washing machine now because the domestic ones are more expensive, and because of the tariff, the imports are more expensive, so I'm going to put off that purchase for a year or five. That doesn't help Steve at all.
And I might also mention that, John, just to complete what you said about wash machines, parts are also included in the tariff.
Say that one more time, Larry.
Parts. Replacement parts.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Also hit with the tariff. So even if you keep your old washing machine going, you're still going to have to pay more for parts, probably.
Steve, I think the only way you guys can stay in business is to advertise more on WGN Radio. Will you tell your bosses that for me, please?
Absolutely. Starting tomorrow.
Listen, I'm not kidding. I wish you guys well, but I wish you'd come back here more often. And we'll see you in the store sometime, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Lawrence, thanks for your time this afternoon, too, sir.
Anytime, John. Bye for now.
You betcha. Lawrence is over at UIC. Lawrence Officer, an economics professor over there. And Steve Shapiro is over at ABT. How about Tammy Duckworth? A lot of attention on... I noticed Anna and Justin were talking about that yesterday. They talked about it on the CBS Morning News today, too.
Did one on the Today Show also. Yeah.
And she is going to be 50 with that new baby. Do I have that age right?
You are correct.
Yeah. I don't care if you're a member of Congress or not. I would just make sure that if when you're 50, you want to have a teenager when you're 66. I mean, I often think about that for men, but, you know, because so often it's, you know, some older guy with a younger wife and they have a baby. And I always think it's sad because I think that guy's not going to be at an age that he'll be able to fully participate in that child's life as they get older. You know, if like you're 70 and you father a child. Or if you're 60, when you're 75, are you going to be playing catch out in the front yard with your kid? You're not, probably. You're not, period. You know, you may be able to watch, but you ain't going to be able to play little touch football. And I think that's part of parenting. So when you decide to bring a child into the world, that's great for you. But are you going to be able to give them, and by the way, maybe it's not great for you, but you know, check back to me when they're 8, 10, 12, and 15, and 18. All those years are just fraught with work. And if you're not up to it, then that kid suffers.
I think you're picking between two things, and it's either career or child rearing.
Yeah.
In life.
Yeah. Well, that's the, you know.
I hope you don't have to pick.
Well.
Sometimes I feel like you do.
Well, so if you do, I mean, so, you know, look, plenty of women have decided to have kids and go to work every day. That's fine. I mean, God bless you all. Half, I would say more of the people at this radio station do that. I think the number, though, becomes interesting. 50 is right on the line.
And yeah, it's.
If you have the support around you, like maybe you're successful enough or somehow your husband's at home and he's able to help with the kids, and that's great. But 50 is on the line. You will be, you know, 65 isn't that old when the kid's 15. But that's just the way I was thinking about it. They were talking more on Roast Show yesterday, Anna and Justin, about, hey, great for women, great for the Senate. And I totally get that. But that's not the way I first interpreted that story. Congratulations, Tammy Duckworth. Pregnant is the headline. First U.S. Senator to give birth. Remember to like me on Facebook. I'm King John. I'm John Williams, King John on Facebook. I want to be king someday. I think the world will be better if I am.
We like you even not on Facebook, John.
Thank you for that.
And yeah. We'll like you on Facebook as well.
If I had my choice, would I rather you like me on Facebook or like me in the real world?
Well, if you became king, then the Royal Guard would have to look into your past indiscretions. There would be investigations. I don't even know what the other terms would be.
I thought king gets to, if you're the king, you can get rid of all that.
That's what I'm thinking. See, the beauty of being king, and it's not just about me, it's about you. But A, I don't have to put up with that monkey business.
Yeah, right.
But B, I get stuff fixed. They go, what are we going to do about this? There's two sides. I go, well, give it to me, and I got a decision.
Can I be your jester? Can I be a court jester?
There's room for a lot of things.
Can I at least audition?
Absolutely. Okay, I'd like your chances,
okay.
too.
I got a couple of... I got 5 minutes. I got some sketches I've written.
Give me 20 seconds.
All
what
right,
are you guys
we're
doing?
We're very excited. Lester Holt from NBC Nightly News is joining us. He was allowed some rare access into North Korea. He's going to talk about that trip and bring you up to speed on everything else going on in the world of politics. We'll talk Larry Nassar and
yeah.
much more.
Wow. That
well. And Billy Joel tickets.
Don't forget.
Hey,
thank you.
Is Elton John coming through Chicago in the next 12 months? Because he's announced that he is also going to stop touring.
Oh.
And I thought, I wonder if he's not one of the Wrigley dates. Billy Joel is, but Elton's not.
Yeah, he just says upcoming tour will be his last, but I'd love to see him.
I know.
I
think he could continue to sell tickets as long as he wanted, right?
Right.
Elton John. Have a good show, kids.
Thank you very much.